And do you know what the full purpose of that is? It's to let you know that you're an adopted child of the Most High God. Right? It's to make a witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. He loves you. He loves you. You know, whenever He speaks to you, and at least this is my experience, I'm not telling you that He hasn't corrected me, because He has before. But most of the time, when I'm feeling like I'm nothing, that I've disappointed Him, that I've blown it all, it's usually this: I love you. And I'm proud to call you my son. Right? That's the way He speaks to us. But the purpose for the Holy Spirit being in us is not just so that we can be a reservoir of the presence of God. It's so that we can be a river of the presence of God. Come on, so that we can be a river of the presence of God. And you might say, well, you know, I'm not qualified. Or other people will say, well, you know, in order to really be used by God, I've got to go to seminary, or I've got to be this, or I've got to be that. I can remember when I first got saved. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, and we'll get there in just a minute. I can remember when I first got saved, I thought, you know, I'm only 2 months into the Lord, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, they've been saved for 2 years. They must really be holy. Then I'd meet somebody that had been saved for 5 years. I think, oh my, they have to have it down. Right? If I was only that far along, I could really be used by God. And then you had some that were 10 years. Whoa. And then you find some that are 30 and 40 years, and you go, they must be right there close to heaven. Yeah, you know, and then, you know, come on, or 70 years or whatever. But watch this. It's not the duration of the relationship. It's the faith or the confidence in the one that you're related to. Right? It, you know, there's people that have been saved for 40 years and do nothing for God. And then there's people who get saved yesterday and they're out tomorrow witnessing for God and becoming a living testimony to them. Right? I think, you know, one of the issues when John was talking in Revelation, and he's talking to the church, and he says, you've left your first love. I think part of that is the simplicity of the relationship that you had with Jesus. Come on. When I got saved. I mean, I was one way one day, and I was completely different the next day. I was absolutely changed, but I was so in love with Jesus. Come on. And I didn't know Him. I didn't know that much about Him. I couldn't quote you a scripture. I couldn't do anything like that. But you couldn't get me to shut up about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. What I want to talk to you about this morning is being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's not a feeling that you get to where you get, woo, you know, I like those times, right? But really, it's an assurance and a knowledge that God is with you and that God is in you and that He gives you supernatural ability to be used for Him. Hallelujah. You are the church. You are the redeemed. You are the voice of God in the earth today. Let me say that again. You are the redeemed, you are the church, and you are the voice of the Holy Spirit in the earth today. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have the microphones up here, and we sing into these microphones, and it goes through the wires and through an amplifier, and it comes out the speaker, right? So it's our voice, but it's being electronically proclaimed. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. He speaks to our heart, and He translates that through our mind. And then our mind tells us to open our mouths. And when we open our mouths, it's the speaker that the Holy Spirit can be amplified through. But we have to have confidence in that. We have to know that. Here's what the enemy, the accuser of the brethren will get you to shut up because you're looking at you rather than him. Right? Let's go to Acts chapter 4. And this is the story about Peter and John and the man who was born lame and by the gate beautiful, and silver and gold have I none, and he was raised up and healed. But listen to this. In verse 1 it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temples and the Sadducees came upon them. Being greatly disturbed, they taught the people and preached Jesus and the resurrection from the dead." These apostles, right, these are the same ones that denied him, right? These are the same ones that ran away from him. These are the same ones that couldn't stand up for him. The same ones, but now they're in the middle of the same place that Jesus got in trouble. They're in the same place getting in trouble for God. Now watch this, watch this. This is so good. Verse 3, "And they laid hands on them and put them in..." That doesn't mean they were praying for them, by the way. You know, when it says they laid hands on them, they grabbed them and, you know, hallelujah. "Laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Glory to God. We need some of these meetings again. "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" What is this that they're talking about? They're talking about a man who had been born lame and was lame all of his life. And because these two, full of the Holy Ghost, were led by the Spirit of God, came to him and said, "Rise up and walk," the man leaped up and walked. You'd think that'd be a good thing. You'd think that when a miracle happens to you, everybody would be going, "Woohoo, glory to God." But that's not the case, right? Because sometimes a miracle can mess people's paradigm up, right? There's a whole group of people that feel like, and I'm talking about Christian brothers and sisters, who feel like every miracle ceased when the apostles died, right? But I'm here to tell you, it's not true. How do I know it's not true? Well, I'm looking at you, right? And I'm hearing Kathy's testimony, and I'm, you know, Walt's been dead 10 times, I think, and he's still here, and his heart was gone, and the doctor said it's great now, right? I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle, I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen before our eyes when we stand up here. But it's not because of us. But yet it is because of us. It's not our power. It's not our plan. It's not our purpose. But it's our willingness to do what? To use the name. I said to use the name. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, he got filled, watch this, he got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But then he got filled with the Holy Spirit when he stood up to speak. I've been filled with the Spirit since the instant I got saved. I was shundying, you know, 30 seconds after I got saved, praying in the Spirit. But I need to be filled with the Spirit on a constant basis. I need to trust that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, and the Holy Spirit will use me if I'll open my mouth, and He'll fill me if I'll stand up. Time to quit sitting and begin to stand. How many believe that those, and we're going to see this real clearly in a minute, that those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior are going to hell. It's true. It's absolutely true. And we'll see that more clearly in a minute. Hallelujah. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to us, this helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you." This man stands here before you whole. The same Peter. Now listen, I want to talk to you about Peter and John. They were fishermen. What does that mean? They didn't go through rabbinical training. They didn't go to the latest seminary. They weren't college degree educated. They were men who fished because that's what their daddies did and their daddies before them did and the daddies before. And so they were unqualified to stand before these learned men and give any explanation. So their education wasn't their qualification. Their belief in what God promised through Jesus Christ was their qualification. What am I saying? I'm saying that you're qualified because of your association with Him. But what you have to believe is that when God puts somebody before you, you have to stand up and begin to speak. Here's the hard part, at least I find hard, is normally the Holy Spirit won't give you the whole plan. It might be just two words. It might be just a picture. Peter didn't say, okay, tomorrow we're probably going to have to say something. So John, let's come up with an outline for a sermon. And I'll read it to you and read it back to me and see how it works and see what we can do to refine it. And I'm not against sermon building, you understand. But what I absolutely know is they stood up. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they became the speaker to what God wanted to say to these people's hearts. And what I'm saying to you and to me today is that we're the ones that are qualified because of our relationship to do the same thing. David prayed it this way, "Lord, I'm going to open my mouth, you fill it." Right? It doesn't quite work that way. You can't go to somebody and go, Holy Spirit, just let it come out. No, you have to listen in your spirit and then begin to speak. Hallelujah. But watch, this is so good. This is so good. These are fishermen talking to the bigwigs. You get that picture. It'd be like you going before Congress tomorrow. Have you ever seen that view where you have all the congressmen and the committee all around there, and there's this one person sitting at this desk, or maybe a two people sitting at the desk, and all eyes are on this person? I just love this. This is the stone, verse 11, which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. This Jesus that you crucified, that you rejected, that you put, this is the name. This is the person. This is the absolute dividing line for those who can become saved and those who aren't saved. Now, most of you know this, but I'm just going to reiterate it this morning because I think it's good to do so. Saved from what? I'm saved. Well, from what? You know, what were you saved from? And the reality is that we're saved. Saved means many things, but the primary thing that it means is that because of not only my sin, but the sin of my father and great-grandfather, all the way back to Adam, that sin was against me. And because God is a righteous and holy judge, there had to be a penalty paid for the sin that was committed. Right? So if there was condemnation due to me because of sin that was in my life, there had to be a price to be paid for that sin. So being saved means that you no longer have to pay the price because the price has been paid for you. So what he was saying here to these people by the Holy Spirit is there's no other way for you to call yourself holy. There's no other way for you. Now listen, he's talking to the ones that think they're the holiest. He's talking to the religious elite, but the Holy Spirit is getting to the heart of the matter. The Holy Spirit will use you to bypass people's brains and get to their heart if you let them. And you don't have to have all the answers. But you have to trust that the one in you does. That's why, and I'm not against witnessing plans and, you know, the four spiritual laws and all the things, the tracts and everything that we use. Everything is good. But I am convinced that even if you're giving those away, that you need to have an assurance that the Holy Spirit will personalize that for the person that you're talking to. And that he'll give you words for that person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and most of you know that the manifestations of the Spirit are listed there. You know, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, right? Discerning of spirits. All of the gifts are listed there. Well, what are they listed there for? They're listed there for you to be assured that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have access to the one who manifests himself through these ways. In other words, he will manifest himself through you if you're in a position to do so. Now, you can't conjure him up, but it says he wills for it to happen. But if you're going, well, you know, God will use somebody else, he's not going to use me, then, right? The speaker's closed. The amplifier's off. There's nothing that's going to come out. But what I'm going to tell you this morning, that when you go to work tomorrow, when you're at the store tomorrow, wherever you go, and there's something in your heart that just speaks to you and says, pray for that person, or tell them that God loves you, or whatever. If you'll begin to believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit when you're obedient to that, then he'll begin to manifest himself through you in ways that you go, I mean, you'll be the Steve Urkel of Christians. Did I say that? Did I do that? Because it's going to be on you. But we can have a complete assurance. Now, God can use those that are fishermen that have no qualifications. But go to Philippians chapter 3. Because I want to give you another example. I've been to Bible college and I've been to lots of seminars and I've listened to lots of messages and you know, I have qualifications. But look at verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. This is Paul talking. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is of the law, blameless. In other words, he says, I was qualified. I went to the school. I have the PhD. I'm the one, you know, if you come up to me with an answer, a question in my head, in my flesh, I can give you an answer. And in that, I'm going to put you under bondage. Why? Because my head goes back to the law which no man can keep, and no man can become righteous or saved by the law. Because remember, there's only one way, one name, where all men must be saved. It's in the name of Jesus Christ and receiving from Him. He goes on to say that I count everything but loss. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Here's the educated man. Here's the man that has all the qualifications. Here's the man that was zealous for God, doing everything that he could for God until he got knocked off his high horse. And in verse 1 he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." He could have, but he didn't. You see, if you want to be used by the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit, it doesn't mean that you abandon your mind and that knowledge isn't good, but that's not the tool that I use to witness for Him. Here's the tool. Verse 2, it says, "For I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." What's he saying? I could have come to you and given you a rabbinical essay on every portion of the law, because I'm qualified to do that. I have that qualification. But I determine in myself that that's not what's going to get you under the name of Jesus. The only thing that's going to get you under is when you begin to realize and understand the power and what took place on the cross. It's the cross of Christ. So what am I saying to you? If God puts you in front of somebody, don't make it complicated. Begin to believe that there's power in that, the testimony of Jesus. In other words, and I've been there, it's like, oh Lord, I can't speak to them. They've already heard about this before. But Lord, you're telling me to talk to my brother. You're telling me to talk to this person or that person. Lord, what do I tell them? You tell them that Jesus loves them. You tell them that God paid the price for their sin, that God's no longer mad at them, but there's a requirement for them to come to Jesus and give their life to Him. But more than that, you don't do that as a rote thing going, well, that's what Pastor said to say. I'm going to learn that and say it exactly like he said it. Then you know what you're filled with? You're filled with the pastor. But what I'm encouraging you today is to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I'm encouraging you today that if you're still alive and still breathing, then you're qualified to witness for Him. And your qualifications are not based on how good you do things. I say your qualifications are not based on how well you have done. In other words, everybody in this room, I know you're holier probably than I am, but everyone in this room is messed up. Yeah. Everybody watching online is messed up. And I've messed up as much or more than y'all. Right? Yeah, Marty, my cheerleader on the second row said, I don't think so. You don't know me. Well, you don't know me. Right? You don't know my thoughts. You don't know what I go through. You don't know the things in my heart, but He does. And if I'll just continually go back to Him, Lord, if I've messed up, forgive me. And if He points something out, change. But the moment that you understand that His love for you is without condition, and that His love for you has qualified you to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Right? How many pray for other people? Hopefully all of us. Right? Maybe you've given up praying because you've prayed for a lot of people and it didn't seem to work. How many ever, I mean, be honest with me, how many have been ever frustrated in praying for people because it seems like it doesn't work? Right? Well, don't stop. Don't stop. But when you pray, watch this. When you pray, you must believe. You must believe. What do I mean? I mean, the Bible says that praying in the Holy Ghost builds you up on the inside. But if you don't believe that, it's not going to do you any good. But if you believe, watch this, if you believe that when you get on your knees, or you don't have to be on your knees, you can be on your rear end, or you can be, you know, laying down, whatever position you're in, you can be in that position. But if you truly believe that when you say, as Jesus told us to pray this way, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you're right before the throne of grace, being filled with the Holy Spirit in prayer, God will give you the very words to pray for the person that you're trying to pray for. Amen. Amen. Well, that hasn't happened to me. Well, have you believed for that? Have you put yourself in a position for that to happen? Or is it, like most of us, our prayer time is, okay, God, here's my list. I got 3 minutes to get this done. So, I'm out of here. Or is it, Lord, I'm bringing George before you right now. Lord, George is addicted. George is, it seems like he's a hopeless case. But I remember that I was in that same condition. You know George's heart, Lord, and I'm just bringing him before you. And so I want to be filled with the knowledge of your knowledge concerning George. So, Lord, fill me with that knowledge so that I can pray for him effectively, so that I can get to the root cause instead of the symptomatic causes that I'm seeing. Right? Glory to God. We're supposed to be the church that heals the brokenhearted. And I love programs, but programs by themselves are not going to get the job done. It's going to require that people start to be filled with the Spirit of God so that God can use them supernaturally to meet the needs of individual people. Whether it's speaking to them or speaking to God about them. I think the gifts of the Spirit ought to be in operation when you're praying. What are those? Come on, discerning of spirits, gifts of faith, working of miracles, words of knowledge. Come on, words of wisdom. Come on, prophecy. I believe all of those should be in operation when we're praying. But we have to believe that they can be. And begin to pray in faith, whether we see them, sense them or not. Lord, I'm coming again in intercession, but I'm coming afresh and anew. Not by my qualifications of how long I've been saved, but by my faith in knowing that what you said is true. And so, Father God, I'm coming right now for George in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I'm available for you to use and give me a word however you want to. Have you ever prayed for somebody because you saw something and then find out that that was not the thing that you should have been praying for? Yeah. In other words, it's like you're praying, well, they're just bound by alcohol. They're just bound by drugs. They're just bound by this. And you're praying against that spirit of, you know, whatever it is. And if you'll get along quiet with God, He'll tell you, that's just a symptom of the problem. What you have to pray for is their broken heart. And the Holy Spirit can show you at the age of 3 when their dad or their mom beat them or did something that gave them a sense of abandonment or are you listening to what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit can take you to the cause and you can start to pray and watch God do something miraculous in George's life. I'm still believing for George, right? I'm still believing for Sal. I'm still believing for Mary. I'm still believing for Sue. I'm still believing for those that I've been praying for over 40 years. I'm still believing, right? Because God knows their heart. But I'm reconditioned to be filled with the Spirit when I'm praying, as well as being filled with the Spirit when I'm speaking. But in both cases, I need to rise up and begin to do it. Come on. I said, I need to rise up and begin to do it. There's nothing too difficult for God. There's no person, listen, as long as a person is breathing, there's still a candidate for the Holy Spirit to touch. Are you with me? Come on. Hallelujah. Go back to Acts chapter 4 and we'll close. I want you all to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe speaking in tongues is part of that, but I also believe being filled with the Holy Ghost is making you a powerhouse for Jesus. Verse 17 says this, and this is the council talking back to them, says, so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them from now on so that they speak no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in that name. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There may be people that have told you, now, you know, I know you were zealous and all of that, but quit speaking. I know that, you know, you got saved and you got that experience with praying in tongues, but quit doing that. And don't do that in public. And don't do that here. And don't do that there. And be more reserved and do that. Listen, not that I want to be rebellious, but on the other hand, if you're offended by what God tells me, I'm going to offend you rather than Him. I don't say that arrogantly or without love and compassion and all of that, but I would rather be a mess in Him than to be, you know, put together for you. Why? Because I can't be used by God by conforming myself to you, but God can use me tremendously if I'm conformed to Him. Yeah. Are you with me? So it doesn't matter what they say. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old when this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard, they raised their voice to God and with one accord said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that's in there, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nation rage and why did the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the apostles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand had purposed, determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. We need a little shaking going on, right? We need a little stirring going on. We need a little standing going on. We need a little, testimony going on. Come on. So listen, when we get together, and I'm a Seahawks fan, rather than talking about the Seahawks, rather than talking about golf, I pray that we come to a day when we come together, we can't wait to get in. Listen to what the Lord did yesterday. Listen, I was in prayer the other day, and this is what the Lord showed me. Come on. Why? Because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He used me to do something for the kingdom of God. Amen? Did y'all get something today? Well, what are you going to do about it? All right? Did you get something today? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to open our hearts up to the Holy Spirit so that He can use us? Amen. That's our choice this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I believe, Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracles that took place years ago are still happening today. I believe that the same qualifications for being used by your Spirit are the same today. And Lord, I just thank you that everyone in this room is qualified. Everybody that's watching online, if they're born again, is qualified. So Lord, I thank you for using us. I thank you for, we're not waiting for the revival to come from somewhere else, Lord. We're asking you to bring the revival to our hearts. And Lord, I believe that will come as we begin to stand up and allow you to fill our hearts with your plans, with your will, with your purposes, and with your pursuits. God, I just thank you, Father, for a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit in our midst and in our homes and in our businesses. Father, in Jesus' name, use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. And if it brings persecution, we'll give you glory. But we're not going to get tired of speaking about Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're watching online and have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's simple prayer to pray, but it's a commitment that takes and requires everything that you have. Amen. You have to lay your life down for Jesus. You have to say, He's right, I'm wrong, and live for Him, commit to live for Him for the rest of your life. But if that's you and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, right down on the inside, there's something nudging you. You need to do that. Do that with me right now. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you right now. I repent of my sins, and I come to you and I lay my life down at your feet. Here I am, Lord, and the rest of my life I will follow you and I will serve you because I believe in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, you've raised him from the dead. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you, Lord, that I'm whole. I thank you, Lord. Now use me to spread your love to everybody else. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.